Taken from the 17th chapter of Matthew. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with them. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. If we can have any... Okay, I just want to make sure. We've got the old transfiguration Sunday. So Peter and John are with Jesus, and they're on a mountain. And a mountain, if you've been reading through the Old Testament, even if you haven't, I'll remind you, the mountain, at least for the people of Israel, for Jewish people, that's where the law is. And then, so that's why Moses is hanging out there with Jesus. And then you've got, you know, of course, you've got Elijah, which represents prophets. The people who speak the truth for God and give visions, and sometimes they're scary. Most of the times they're scary. But they speak the truth for God. So that's why you have Elijah there. And then you have Jesus there. Now, I think Jesus is there simply to show God's love. So you have the prophets and law and God's love all together. And they're excited, and the text says, and Jesus transforms into them in a white, as in wearing a white robe, white clothing, dazzling white, like just like, well, I can't make it very dazzling white, but the way more dazzling white than this. And the word is metamorphosis. And I was going to, you know, Franz Kafka wrote a book called Metamorphosis, and I was going to check that out from our library. Jenny, where is Jenny sitting? Is she here? No, but she's not here right now. She's one of our thousands of librarians we have in this congregation, but she works in Timberline. I couldn't find one at Lacey. I'd had to gone to Olympia to get that. And I'm not about to drive to Olympia. I mean, come on. So I didn't read that book, but that book talks about how a person transforms from a person and eventually transforms to a cockroach, an insect. And it's an interesting story that I had, you know, that remind me of how that change, that metamorphosis word, that Greek word that's in the text, it's a big change, like from a person to a cockroach. So I'm not saying Jesus is a cockroach. I'm going on record to say that's not what I'm saying. But that Jesus embodies love. So I have a couple thoughts about that, a couple quotes, and then two challenges in relation to this. So here's the thoughts. The phrase that really struck me is, so there's this scene, and God says, "Listen to him, my beloved one, my beloved child. Listen to Jesus." And what's the first thing in this story that Jesus says? Do you remember that? You can cheat and look if you need to, but yeah. What is it? What does Jesus say? "Get up, don't be afraid. Get up, don't be afraid." When this transformation happened, this transfiguration, this change of something to this brightness of God, that's all they could do. Lay down, they were afraid. This awesomeness. You know, if you've ever seen Mount Rainier in its glory, you know, when it's a sunshiny day, which I'm sure that'll happen again. I was actually in California and San Diego these past couple days, and it was raining like it rains up here. So, and Beth said the whole time it's been sunny like it's down there usually, so it was opposite. But when Mount Rainier comes out That's a glory. That's the kind of godly glory we're talking about. Those things of nature that are just, that transform you and let you know, I am a tiny thing in this big thing, and there's awesomeness all over the place. And that can promote a certain kind of, I think what this text says, when it's a fear, when you see something that's so awesome and you don't know what to do but to back up and say, I am a little creature in this big thing. That's kind of what I suggested about love too, and what Jesus did with love. I mean, love obviously is much more than magical, but it does have a magical quality. If you've been loved, or if you've given love to someone, things can change. And you can see the glory of God in that, in the simple hug, in a simple word, of just being present. That can be glorious. And it can also be scary, because you realize the power of love is amazing. When we were in San Diego, because I went down with a friend to watch some softball games, college softball games, we went to a movie that night because it was raining, so couldn't watch softball. And as we're in downtown San Diego, here's a couple, the younger couple, you know, late 20s, I'm guessing. I don't know, I can't tell. And it was dark. But clearly the woman had been drinking. And the man was just fed up and kept walking away from her. And she's stumbling, and she has these big high heels. I'm thinking she's going to trip, first of all. Because, you know, everybody wears the high heels. I can't do it. I don't get it. But my friend and I are sitting there just wondering, is this man going to abandon this woman? I mean, I felt for her. Because I'm thinking, I wouldn't want my daughter to be in this situation. And hopefully, Grace, wherever you are, somewhere here, hopefully you, we've instilled some stuff in you. And all the daughters of this congregation, for future reference, that we've instilled stuff for you. Don't wear high heels, first of all, especially if you've been drinking. But anyway, that's not the point. But there's this compellingness. There's this compellingness of me wanting to do something, to transform that situation, to change that situation. And so we kind of watched, and eventually he came back, but then he went around the block completely, and so we kind of drove around and we took another circle, and eventually he came back to her. You know, who knows what happened, but at least he was with her. But this power of love reveals God and reveals the glory of God. And we can love. There's so many places to love. So that's a couple reflections about that. Get up and don't be afraid. Glory is the stuff we get glimpses of, which are beyond death. God's child, the beloved, turns us around, over, upside down, writes us back up, kind of like we live and can see by a lake. We can see a lake kind of like if a canoe capsizes. That's one way to talk about what God's love does. It writes you back up. Metamorphosis, meta means trans, means change, leads to metanoia, which is, Jesus said, repent. That means turn around, metanoia. So God's love through Jesus helps us to turn around and experience that glory and that grace of God, that awesomeness of God for us. It turns us right side up. Listen to him, God says. When I was thinking about love, I was talking with a friend who's at Seattle University, and I grew up with him on Camino Island. He became a philosophy major. I was a religion major. Now he's Catholic, but he's finally coming back to the seminary and he's going to get a Master of Divinity degree. Won't be a pastor because he's married, but he is doing theology. So he's taking a course on Jesus. And he was doing a paper on love. And so we were talking about love. What is this love? What is it? And we came up with this phrase. It's conversion, that is that metanoia, that change, to the other. Conversion to the other. Sometimes when we talk about sin, we talk about inwardness. And this conversion to the other opens you up to the other person. Opens you up to love. Opens you up to the glory of God when you experience that love. So the conversion to the other. That's what Jesus was about in this scene, in this moment. God says, listen to him. And Jesus says, get up. Get up from this state. Get up. And don't fear. Don't be afraid. Love. Love. So, Transfiguration Sunday, it's a wonderful day to think about love. It's right before Lent, so we have a Lent. You got lots of Lent disciplines to think about that. But I've got two practical things we can do. The first, you can decide which one you think is easier. The first one is chickens. Buck a chick. For Lent, we got this big packet of stuff for Easter and Lent from the National Church. And the thing that drew me, for some reason, was chickens. That for every dollar that we contribute to this chicken fund, it says right here, your gift of a chick makes a world of difference. It provides a family in need with eggs to eat and sell at the market. With this gift, you can help a family escape hunger for good. Now that's love. For most of us, we don't think about chickens and eggs and don't worry about that because we can go to Safeway. But for many people, if they had a chick that turns into a chicken and is a food source, and we've made that difference in a real way by simply giving a dollar, and someone for good isn't hungry anymore, that's love. That's grace. That's the glory of God. So buck a chick. We're going to do that. You're going to see these. I'm thinking we have to do at least 500. 500 or 1,000. I don't know. 1,000 seems harder, but not that hard. So five. We're going to do 1,000. You're all looking. If you don't start smiling, we're going to do 2,000. So we'll go for 1,000 chicks, I guess. I don't know. That's just a number. That's what God said. No, I don't know if that's what God said or not. The bishop, our presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, in the March Lutheran magazine, she happened to reflect on Transfiguration Sunday. And she gave this example. Stephen Bowman, executive director of the ELCA Congregational and Synodical Mission Unit and former bishop of Metropolitan New York Synod, tells this story about one of the events on September 11. A pastor in the Synod also served as a chaplain to the fire department. The pastor saw the first plane hit and ran to the site. When he arrived, firefighters were putting on their gear. The pastor gathered them together, marked the cross of their foreheads with oil, and prayed. Then the firefighters ran into the building. The people who survived said they could see the crosses shining on the firefighters' foreheads. The firefighters were transfigured. In that great darkness and suffering, the light of Christ appeared. In baptism, we have been marked with the cross of Christ. We are redeemed by the suffering, dying Messiah, and now participate in Christ's resurrection. And we are sent into the dark places of the world. Through our weakness, the glory of Christ is revealed to a broken and hurting the world. The light of Christ shines on our foreheads. I think that's a great story, and it helps in this second example. You know, we have this Mountain View thing that is a happening. And we're close to the Safe and Warm. He's just getting some kids over there, Principal Hatch, and then we should have that soon. So those of you who have volunteered, thank you. And we'll be taking care of kids in the morning to keep them safe and warm before school. But I went over there on Thursday last week and asked, what can we do? You know, is there anything else we can do? And he said, well, they're not really, you know, we're working on Safe and Warm. So I get this email on Friday. Hi, Eric, pastor at St. Mark. Peggy, partner in education lead from Sterling Bank. And Kelly, Mountain View PTA president. Eric, when you stopped by early in the week to ask if we, Mountain View, needed anything, I didn't have any immediate needs at the time. We always put any donations to good use. But there were no emergency needs when we spoke. I also mentioned that things of that nature change quickly here, and they have. A Mountain View family is in desperate need of support. Here's the story. The dad was recently laid off, and I'm not going to give you all the details. And he's looking for a job that pays $12 an hour or more in order to avoid having to move his family out of their current rental. Dad has a highly impacted tooth. So if we know of people who provide dentistry, that would be helpful. Mom and the boys have insurance. Dad does not. Mom works at Mountain View as a paraeducator, has been training to be a teacher. That's her goal. She's had to put that off. They have one vehicle. The other one's broken down. This limits the dad's opportunity to look for work and access the food bank. Both parents would, and this is real. I'm not making this up. This is real and across the street right now. Both parents would give the shirts off their backs for anyone in need, and they're amazing parents to their boys. The mom is an extremely dedicated employee, always positive, a blessing to children, and greets everyone with endless smiles. Worry has replaced her smiles with tears, and the dad, in addition to suffering from daily pain from the impacted tooth, is now experiencing some concerned health reactions as a result of stress. Having been unemployed, I get that. Here at Mountain View, we're taking up a collection and doing everything we can to provide support. If there is anything that you can do, even if it is advice on where I can go or whom I might approach that would be willing to help, I would be eternally grateful. And then he talks about what they're doing to make a difference and the staff and helping them with food and gas and things like that. So, that's my challenge. That's the challenge that was brought to us. Are we going to be in the stance like this? Or are we ready as a congregation to embrace that family there? And you can decide if you want to do that or not. But if you're interested in helping this family, with a family who, a person in that family works over at Mountain View, and we have a wonderful partnership with them, has two kids at Mountain View, and we're working with kids. If you can help in any way, in any of those things, please talk with me. Because that's what it's about. Listen to Him, God says. Listen to Jesus. And our response is to take His hand, to get up, and not be afraid. Amen.